Good morning. Merry Christmas. Did y'all get lots of good presents yesterday? Yeah, I bet you did. I woke up yesterday morning and this is what I got. So my wife handed me this and I said, what's that? She said, it's a bucket. So what's it for? She said, you're speaking at CCB tomorrow. It's for you to throw up in. She put together a kit. She gave me water, which I already took some of. I got some deodorant, because apparently when I get nervous, I sweat. I got some feet warmers, because apparently I might get cold feet. See? And Pepto-Bismol. So you can pray for the evil spirits to come out of my wife and start getting me some good gifts. So that would be great. But this morning I want to speak to you about life on purpose. And what does it take to have a life of purpose? On September 1st, 1985, explorer Robert Ballard made a discovery that made his heart leap into his throat. He later recorded his feelings about the event and said, my first direct view of Titanic lasted less than 2 minutes, but the stark sight of her immense hull towering over the ocean floor will remain ingrained in my memory forever. My lifelong dream was to find the great ship, and during the past 13 years, the quest for her had dominated my life. Now, finally, my quest was over. What will I do next? See, Ballard had spent 13 years of his life searching for Titanic, but it was his dream, it was his goal to find her. It just goes to show the experience, his experience could demonstrate the power that a single purpose in life can do to someone's life, to be that consumed with something. It makes us ask a simple but important question. Do you have purpose in your life? Someone once said, it is more important to know where you are going than it is to get there quickly. And I believe in order for us to have a life of purpose, we have to come to terms where we only have a limited number of days, that we all have bookends on our life. If you have your Bibles with you today, would you turn to Psalm 90 with me? If you just open up your Bible, it should fall right in the Psalms. Most of the time when we think of Psalms, we think of David. But Psalm 90 was actually wrote by Moses. And Moses has a very unique perspective on time. When you look at Moses' life, the first 40 years of Moses' life were spent in Egypt, where he learned to talk like an Egyptian and walk like an Egyptian and all that stuff. And the next 40 years of his life are spent in the desert with Jethro, herding goats and sheep. And then the last 40 years are spent leading his people out of Egypt. So Moses has a very unique perspective on time. And he says in Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days, that we might gain a heart of wisdom. See, Moses is telling us that if we have bookends on our life, if we realize we have bookends in our life, we might live every day on purpose. You see, usually if we think we have an unlimited number of something, we usually don't appreciate it. If we have an unlimited amount of money, sometimes we squander it. We buy things we don't need to impress people we don't like. With friends, we usually don't appreciate them if we have a lot of them. I checked last night. I have 710 friends on Facebook. I maybe know 20 of them. But I appreciate them all. I appreciate them befriending me. With time, usually we put things off. You know, we say, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. But the problem is we don't know if we have a tomorrow. So Moses' prayer is that we number our days so we can gain wisdom, because a man who lives knowing he has a limited number of days will make every moment count. Now, if you're thinking, so how do I number my days? It's easy. Deathclock.com. There's a website out there that I found. This is no joke. Check it when you go home. Deathclock.com. You can go on to deathclock.com and put in your age, your health, where you're from. If you're married, I don't know why that would kill you, but if you're married, and all this stuff. And it'll actually give you the moment of your death. So according to deathclock.com, I will die on Monday, September 26th, 2061. I will live to be 78 years old, 4 months, 11 days, which means as of today, I have 18,537 days left to impact this world for Jesus Christ. Could you imagine if that was true? If this thing actually worked, would we live our lives any different if we knew the exact moment of our death? The person I want to look at in Scripture is found in Ecclesiastes. It's found two books forward from the Psalms. The reason I want to look at Solomon is Solomon set out on a quest to find a purpose in life, and I want to really quickly go through it. In Ecclesiastes 1, verse 1, he says, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Isn't this great? We can do this together. This is kind of depressing. I'm like the Scrooge up here. But he says, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Now, if you're a young person out there, you're probably thinking, then what's the point? But if you're an old person out there, you're probably thinking, I knew it. I knew there was no purpose. So let's look at verse 16 of chapter 1. He says, I thought to myself, look, I have grown and increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I've experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also to the madness and folly. But I learned this too is chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much grief. See, Solomon realized the more he knew, the more he realized he didn't know. So knowledge didn't give purpose. So you might be thinking, if I get another degree or if I get my doctorate or if I just learn more, it'll bring purpose. But Solomon says that didn't give him purpose. There's nothing wrong with getting those things, but they're not going to give your life purpose. In chapter 2, verse 1 of Ecclesiastes, he says, I thought in my heart, come now, I'll test myself with pleasure to find out what is good. But this too proved meaningless. Laughter, I said, is foolish. Solomon joined the comedy clubs. Solomon had the money to entertain himself with anything he desired, but he came to the conclusion that laughter didn't give purpose. Now, maybe you're thinking, you know, if only I had another boat or a quad or a new car or a new house or a wife or a new wife, that will give me purpose. But it didn't give Solomon purpose. In verse 4 of chapter 2, he says, I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs of water groves and flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and treasures of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women singers and a harem as well, the delights of the heart of man. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me, and all my wisdom stayed with me. You see, Solomon was a construction worker. Solomon built more than anyone before him. Solomon done more, had more than anyone in Jerusalem ever had before him. But busyness didn't give him purpose. And church, don't mistake activity with achievement. You see, there's a lot of people in this country, in this world, that are busy, but they never really achieve anything of significance. So how does Solomon wrap this up? How does he finish with us? In verse 17, he says, so I hated life because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless. Now, the term under the sun is used 32 times in 12 chapters in Ecclesiastes. What is the term under the sun anyway? Under the sun means in this world, on this earth, anything humanly created or anything that we do. You see, under the sun, nothing has meaning because it's all temporary. Under the sun, nothing has purpose because it will all fade away and it won't be remembered. Under the sun, there is no hope outside of God. But what hope is there outside of God? But, and there's always a but, but under the sun, we do have meaning, purpose, and hope. Under Jesus Christ, we can find a meaning for our life, purpose, and hope in our life. Paul said in Philippians 3, but what things were gained to me, those I have counted loss for Christ. But indeed, I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ. You see, Paul lost everything in order to follow Christ. He counted everything a loss to follow Christ, and he took a risk. And I believe to live a life on purpose is to risk to achieve our goals. And I want to share with you, in the time we have left, just some areas in my life that I believe that we have to do in order to live a life on purpose, because I know I'm doing what I was put on this earth to do, and I'm grateful to have something that I'm passionate about and I know is profoundly important. So hopefully we can unravel these together. The first thing I believe we have to do to live a life on purpose is we have to deal with our past. We have to deal with our past. See, there's so many things out there that we need to get rid of and let go of. Past hurts, failures, disappointments, regrets, and sin. We got to let go of them. But you see, Satan wants us to think we can't let go of them. Satan wants us to think we can't be forgiven for our past sin or the past things that we've done. And church, I want to tell you that is a lie. The Word of God says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Christ died once and for all for us to be forgiven so we don't have to live in our past. Now you might be saying, Dermot, you don't know what I've done in my past. You know, you might have cheated on your spouse. You might have stolen from your employer. You might have killed someone or you had an abortion. But I want to tell you, no matter what you've done in your past, Christ died so you could be forgiven. Romans 1:25 says, they exchanged, they being us, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. You see, it's always easier to believe a lie from Satan because it's more appealing to us. A lie from Satan tells us we're not worth it, and we want to believe that. But that's not the truth. The truth is, Christ died for each and every one of us. You know, there's some things in my past that I had to deal with. I grew up in Limerick, in Ireland, and grew up in a great home. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. My dad worked on oil rigs. I had two brothers, two sisters. It was great. The area I grew up in, on the other hand, wasn't that great of an area. It was a pretty rough area. It wasn't a, you know, you don't really go walking on your own at night there. But growing up there, to me, it was normal. But I grew up in with the wrong group of people. I grew up, by age 12, I was taking drugs, drinking, stealing cars, burglaring houses, you know, doing everything a 12-year-old would normally do. You know, the normal stuff in life. But those things, I had to deal with that. I had to think, could Christ forgive me for that? And if any of you were in Ireland in 1995 and your tour bus got held up by a group of Irish guys, I actually have your money I stole from me here. In 1995, we held up a tour bus and we stole some money from American tourists. So, but I was forgiven for it, so deal with it. So, get over it. I've been forgiven. But I used to deal drugs to pay for my own drugs. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in my past that I could say, how could God forgive me for it? But he has. By the time I turned 16, 9 of the 25 people in my class had been murdered. That gives you an idea of the stuff that we used to do. I came to Christ at a sports camp. There was a guy there by the name of Tony. Tony was just a Christian guy. He never told me he was a Christian. I just knew he lived differently than everyone else. I could see a difference in his life. And I was so sick of the act, of all the fighting, of the drugs, of the drinking. It was all, as Solomon said, meaningless. But I saw a difference in Tony. And I wanted what he had. So eventually I approached Tony and asked him what was different in his life. And he told me about Christ. He shared a verse from Hebrews that said, for I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. So I accepted Christ. And if Christ is willing to forgive us our past, we should be willing to let go of it and let him forgive us our past. You see, a lie of Satan is that we can out-sin grace, when the truth is we can never out-sin grace. No matter what we do, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Outside my house in Ireland, where my parents' house was, there's a lamppost. And as a kid, my shadow, you know, when you walk under a lamppost, obviously there's a shadow. And I couldn't figure out as a kid, I just couldn't figure out why I couldn't pass my shadow out. So as a kid, I would stand under this lamppost and try and pass my shadow out. And I remember my dad would stand at the front door, and looking back, I knew he was thinking, this kid isn't Harvard material. I knew he was thinking, this kid isn't gonna. But as silly as it sounds to try and pass out your shadow, that's as silly as it is to think you can out-sin the grace of God. No matter what you've done, church, Christ died for it. We gotta let go of our past. The next thing I believe we have to do is we have to live in the present. See, I started going to church when I was 19. And in Limerick, there's roughly about 200,000 people. There were two main churches. Each church held about 30 people. And a church of 200,000. That's pretty small. Now, I knew what I wanted to do after I became a Christian. I wanted to reach people for Christ. But I knew the traditional way of doing that wouldn't work. So, I tried something different. In Andy Stanley's book, The Principle of the Path, he says, your direction, not your intention, determines your destination. I want to repeat that. He says, your direction, not intention, determines destination. Basically, if my intention is to lose weight in the new year, but yet I eat it at fast food restaurants every day, you know, they're not lining up. You know, I'm not going to get there. But my intention, my destination was to reach people for Christ. My intention was to reach people for Christ, but my direction wasn't going that way. I was trying to reach them in a traditional way, the way that they tried to do it 300 years ago, and it wasn't working. So I said I'd try something different. So I went and found a newspaper and just started reading, where's the biggest need in the city, and how can we fix that need? So there was a place in Limerick called Moyross, and Moyross was so bad at the time that it was actually policed by the military because the regular police couldn't stop the crime that was there. So the problem was, Moyross and the area where I was from were rival gang areas. So I said, you know what, I'll go in there, have the Lord with me, let's go do it, you know, what's the worst that can happen? So I got a soccer ball, I literally, I just got a soccer ball, said I'd go in there with a soccer ball and try and reach these people for Christ. So I did. Went in, you know, I was full of enthusiasm, went in, said, you know, I'm going to befriend these guys, went up to Christ. I woke up 2 days later in hospital. They literally beat the snot out of me as soon as I got in there. So after I woke up and got home, I said, okay, Lord, obviously you don't want me to go back there. So I prayed about it. And honestly, I've never in my life felt such a call to go back somewhere. And I was like, but Lord, do you not see what they've done? you know, help. I would honestly throw up each time I went to go back in there. But we went back in 8 times. We went to go back. Now, in fairness, every time I went back, it got less and less, but they would beat the snot out of us each and every time we went back. But in less than a year of going in, 13 guys gave their life to Christ. In less than a year. It was unbelievable to see. And because of that, after we went in, 13 guys gave their life to Christ. But within a year, we had teams from the U.S. coming over. We had a church in there of 140 people. It was unbelievable to see the difference that Christ made in that area. So we have to live in the present because there's opportunities all around us to serve. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So after that, I had no idea what I was doing. I was a young Christian. I still don't know what I'm doing, to be honest, but I had no idea what I was doing. I needed help. But a lot of the churches I knew couldn't help because they weren't doing it the same way we were. So I emailed 36 churches in the United States, 36, to try and find some help. One church replied, just one. CCV was the only church out of 36 churches I emailed that actually replied to the email I sent. And I actually dug out the email I sent that I'm going to read to you. I sent this on March 29, 2005. It was at 9:58 a.m. It says this, Pastor Wilson, my name is Dermot O'Mahony and I'm from Limerick, Ireland. I attend a small church here in Limerick and I'm looking for ways to reach out and be more effective in my community. I've logged onto your website and see that God has blessed you, your church, and what your church is doing. I'm a young Christian, but I have a lot of people coming to me with questions and wanting to know more. To be honest, I have no idea how to handle any of this. I hold a service in a pub and it's going great. Could you give me any advice on how to get into full-time ministry or what I need to do to grow personally and grow this small church? Any advice or help you could give would be really appreciated. I would also love the opportunity to come and visit your church. I met a family in Ireland that attend CCV and they love it. Thank you for your time, Dermot. 7.5 hours later, at 9:13 a.m., I got this reply. Dermot, thank you for reaching out. We would be honored if you would come and visit. I think you should read church leadership books. John Maxwell is a good author. Stay in the word. You need to be strong to lead strong. Sign up for our weekly messages. We'll send them to you on CD. They'll be an encouragement to you. May God give you the strength you need to be God's man. Stay strong. That was sent 7.5 hours later after I had sent an email to 36 churches and CCV was the only one to reply. If CCV didn't reply, I can guarantee you I wouldn't be standing here today. The reason I came to CCV was because this church reached out to me. Because Don emailed me back, and church, there's thousands of people here. Thousands. Could you imagine if each one of you reached out to a missionary? One person reached out to me at the other side of the world, and it's changed my life to go on and impact Ireland. Could you imagine if you took the time to find one person to reach out to and encourage them? Send them letters. Just send them, let them know they're not forgotten. So it's amazing what impact this can have. And because of that, we're going to go back to Ireland and take Ireland for Christ. And we're getting ready to go back next year, and we want you to be part of it. What we're looking for from you, we're looking for 10,000 prayer partners to partner with us, to pray for us each and every day. We're not looking for names, but we're looking for people who will sign up and help us to impact Ireland for Christ. He might be calling you to Ireland, but he calls all of us to pray. So if you're looking for an opportunity to help, here it is. Nowhere in the Bible does it say it's easy to be a Christian. But it does say that it's going to be risky, but it's worth the risk. Did you know that Ireland has the highest suicide rate in Europe? Did you know that Limerick, where I'm from, was voted the crime capital of Europe last year? When I shared with you earlier on that 16 out of 25 were murdered, I was back in Ireland just 2 weeks ago, and I met up with some people. It's now 19 of the 25 people in my graduated class have either been killed or died of drug overdoses. Satan has taken enough ground in Ireland, and we can't let him take any more. Reaching one person can change everything for Christ. So we got to deal with our past. We got to live in the present to seize opportunities. We also got to look towards the future. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Now you might be saying, "Well, I don't have a purpose like you. I don't know what my purpose is." Have you ever asked the question, "What is my purpose?" Have you ever asked, "What does God want?" You see, does God want us to do missions? Absolutely. Does he want us to feed the poor? Sure. Does he want us to clothe the homeless and do all these good works? Absolutely, God wants us to do that. But you know what he wants first? Is you. You see, when he has you, all those things are a byproduct of him having you. You see, there's already a plan. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." You see, there's already a plan. God already has a purpose. But he needs you to give yourself to him so he can work his purpose out through you. The problem is so many of us go off on our own and say, "I want to do this," and we ask the Lord to bless what we're doing instead of saying, "Lord, what do you want? And let us come under what you're doing." So I want to tell you what God's plan for Ireland is, what he's asked me, my wife, our family to do, and what he's going to ask you guys to help us do. You see, people in Ireland hate church. And if you understand Irish history, you'll understand why they hate church. The church was the government, and they've done a lot of nasty things to the people, so they really hate church. So what we're setting up is an environment of service. You know, I steal a lot of quotes from my wife, but I'm actually going to give her credit for this one. She actually said, she said it beautifully. She said what I tried to articulate in an hour. She said it in one sentence. She said, "We have to serve the people of Ireland before we tell them. We have to earn the right to tell them about Jesus Christ." See, people in Ireland, Christians in Ireland, have lost the right to tell them, because they've lived such hypocritical lives. So we need to go back and earn the right to tell them about Jesus Christ. And we found a place in Limerick that God has put on our lap to go and change Limerick for Christ. You see, there's never, ever been a worse time to go back to Ireland. The country's gone bankrupt. The people have lost trust in the government, the banking system, the healthcare. But most of all, they've lost trust in the church. But that's why it's the perfect time to go back. You see, when this world's at its darkest, God can shine the brightest. There's some photos up on the screen of a place that we looked at in Ireland. It was built in 1740. It's older than your country, actually. It was built in 1749. And it was actually originally a bank. But could you imagine if we created an environment of service, an environment where we'd be giving back to the people? How ironic would it be if a bank started giving back? Yeah. But wouldn't that be unbelievable? This is a three-story building where we're going to create pretty much, it's going to be like a coffee shop, Starbucks on steroids, where people will come in and we'll be able to serve the people. Instead of the church trying to drag them in, they'll naturally come in and we can serve them. In the upper floors, we're going to have places where we can serve the business community. This will be self-sustaining. We're going to have four of these in Limerick. We're going to spread it throughout Ireland. But most of all, this is where we're going to have the church. This is what's going to change Ireland. Traditional churches won't work in Ireland. I've seen missionary after missionary come to Ireland and get nowhere. I'm not saying this will, I don't know this is the recipe for success in Ireland. I just know it hasn't worked. So we're going to do something different. So this will attract the communities to what we're doing. This building originally sold for €8 million 5 years ago, and now it can be got for just over €1 million. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that great? But just like my Ross, when I went in there, it was tough and it was hard, but this is going to be tough and hard as well, but that doesn't mean it's not worth doing. Now, some people are thinking, you know, this is crazy. This is just another fad. 29 years ago, this crazy guy said that he could win the Valley for Christ in a movie theater. But now you're sitting in CCV. You see, God works on crazy. God works on risk, and he works against the odds. You know, Don shared something with us a couple of months ago that really made me nervous. And I say that without joking, it genuinely scared me. Don shared that according to the top theologians, according to the spiritual leaders of colleges and universities, the next 2 years in the United States will determine the spiritual future of the United States. It will either have a spiritual revival like no other, or it will completely turn away from God. Now, if that doesn't scare you, it should. Because we're going back to Ireland to try and dig it out of a spiritual pit it fell into. And Europe as well. The United States hasn't got there yet, but it's not far from it. Church, 2,000 years ago, 12 people changed this planet because they were fully committed to Christ. Can you imagine what 12,000 people can do? You can turn the United States around, because if the United States falls into this pit, God only knows what will happen to the rest of the world. Now, if you're asking how can we help, how can we find out more about what you're doing, I want you to take out your pens, and I want you to follow us on crossireland.com, www.crossireland.com. I want you to sign up for our prayer updates. I want you to get our newsletters, your emails. I want you to email me. There isn't one person in this room that can't help us change a nation for Christ. You see, because of that email Don sent me, I came here, and CCV has completely surrounded me. They've mentored me, they've trained me. I came here to do the internship, and they're sending me back to help change Ireland for Christ. I mean, this church has done above and beyond what they could have done. So, what's the application? How do we wrap this up? What are your goals for next year? Do you have any goals? You see, you can't reach goals that you don't set. Is your goal to read the Bible? Is it to read the whole Bible in a year, or even start reading your Bible? Is it to start volunteering, or to bring someone to church? In a couple of weeks, we're going to be doing a season of service that you're going to hear a little more about. When that comes up, sign up. We can impact this valley for Christ by impacting one person at a time. So what's your goals for next year? The next challenge I have is, what are you doing? What are you willing to do to risk to reach them? What are you willing to risk to reach those goals? Anything worth attaining is worth the risk. So I want to ask, if you have the goals set for next year and you're willing to risk for them, are you willing to go that step further? You see, Christ will always give us goals that are bigger than ourselves so he can get the glory for it. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for what you did on the cross. We thank you that no matter what we do in our past, no matter what we've done in our past, that you've died, you've forgiven us for that. I pray you give each person here the strength and the courage to find their purpose, to find what it is you want them to do in order to impact this world for you. I pray that you give us the strength and the ability to have the courage to go out and reach our neighbors, to live what we're being taught. We thank you for all you've done for us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Church, in your bulletins, you should have this. It's Bible in 1 year. If you don't know what goals to set, or you're not sure of what goals you want to set for next year, I suggest reading the Bible in a year. You can go outside in our bookstore. You have these in our bookstore that you can purchase. And on the back of your card here, if you fill this out and are committed to reading it in a year, fill it out and just leave it on your chair. The ushers will come and pick it up. Thank you for your time. You're dismissed.